were jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Starting to get my legs back under me. Sea leg is what they call it. I'm going to be honest with you, man. Randy just asked me here a little bit in the pre-show how I was getting, if I was rested. And I said, you know, Randy, I'm 67. I can't believe I'm 67 years old. And every time that Clint Eastwood song, Don't Let the Old Man In, I ought to get that thing back up and start playing that. And, you know, Bob Evans came in here last Sunday night, and he worked my tail off till Saturday night. Every day we worked hard out in that sun. And I don't want to let on that I'm a sissy. But man, oh man, oh man, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. And I'm starting to feel getting a little bit of my energy back here today. A lot to do, a lot going on. Appreciate all of you joining us here. It's funny how things kind of fall into your lap. All of a sudden, I find myself in the next 2 weeks in the courtroom. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But before I get to that, I want to make sure I cover a couple things here. Say, Coach, you're in court. Yeah, stay with me. I'm going to tell you what's going on. Hey, Bobby, is Bobby Lee in here? Bobby Lee's always got something going on. We're going to be in Kentucky this weekend.
Yes,
Kentucky.
I'm here.
Bobby, what's going on in Kentucky? For those who don't already know, maybe want to be part of it.
I'm working to get the Kentucky people better organized and on the same page. We seem to be fairly organized out here in Pennsylvania. We've developed a solid core group out here, and I want to do the same for Kentucky. So we're meeting up at Boonesboro. We're going to spend 2 or 3 hours walking around the fort, and then we're going to head over to one of the Salt Light Brigade's members that's only a short distance away, and we're going to talk about these events. We're going to talk about what needs to be done and be proactive and how we're not going to be the clergy response team, and we're going to develop a solid core of people in Kentucky.
Amen. Because folks, I'm not a doomsayer, doomsdayer. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm about as optimistic a guy as you ever want to be around. But man, there's trouble on the horizon, baby. There's trouble on the horizon for sure. And as I say over and over, let us not forsake the assembling ourselves together. So Bobby, it's all posted on our website, folks. If you want to be part of it, you still can do it. Here's one of the things that troubles me the most, and maybe it troubles Michelle more than me, is making sure people are comfortable. I pray you're all comfortable, but I don't worry about it, okay? If we say it's rough camping, it's rough camping. If we say it's, if we say we have a luxury place, it's luxury place. But some of the things we're doing just requires a little bit of sacrifice on the part of all of you. Not that I'm, don't mean to sound like I'm scolding anybody, but Michelle always makes me, she's my, whatever. She keeps me balanced, right? And so she said, you know, you're having all those guys come in here July 17th. Do they know that there's no, you know, there's no showers and no, I said, honey, that's all I can do is tell them July 17th and 18th and part of the 19th. If you get it, we'll have running water. We'll have some restroom facilities. But for a lot of you, it's going to be rough, man. And if you want to boondock, if you want to pull your camper in and park without any electricity or anything, you can do that. You can put up tents. Some of you can get in hotels. We got a good crowd coming. And Chad Estes and Jamie Walden and Bobby Lee and Gary Donahoe and others. I'm forgetting. And Larry Richardson. They're putting a lot of work in to make this thing a success. So come, bring your boots. As my old buddy Dave Klontz used to say, tighten your belt, earn your meal money, and we'll have a great weekend. And as always, it's the fellowship, man. It is the fellowship that matters. Fellowship that matters. And we pray that when you come here, you take what you get and you take it with you. Take it with you. Take it back and build a network like Bobby's building or like Chad's doing or like others are doing.
It's hard. I know it's hard, but folks, I'm telling you, people are more and more open now than they've ever been. And I just believe there's another lockdown coming because I believe it's nefarious. I believe the kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. I believe that a lot of crazy things are happening. I believe, although I haven't spoken much about it, it is make or break time for the whole Donald Trump pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein. It's make or break time. It's time for some perp walks. It's time for some arrests. If we don't see some of those in the next month or so, then everything is made up. Trump was made up. Everything was made up if there aren't any perp walks. And I'm still in a position where I believe, I just believe God's not going to let this stuff slither away. I believe there's justice coming. Is there justice coming for Hillary? I don't know. Justice coming for Obama, that Muslim freak, that homosexual Muslim freak. I don't know. I don't know. I pray there is, but I don't know. Because he's protected by the kings of this world, conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. The 8 years of Obama was nearly the end of America. Folks, it was nearly the end of America. Whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, thank God he got elected because he at least put a doorstop in the middle of the door and kept the door from being shut on us. But it ain't over yet. The battle for this nation. I'm going to read something today from Mario Morello here in a second. I want you to be aware. But I started out by saying, oh, the cross. Yeah, the cross looks great. Thanks for all the kind words. And I'm sorry it took so much. I'm not sorry. Thank you for giving me so much personal time yesterday to talk about it because it's a big deal. It's a big deal to all of us who labored.
It's a big deal, Coach.
It's a big deal, Dale.
It was, dude, I understand construction. That was an insane task. When you told me when they flipped that cross up and the bolt holes were spot on, let me tell you what, that wasn't, not that Bob Evans isn't good. I could tell he knows what he's doing. But that, my friend, was absolutely of God.
There's a lot of things just about that whole thing that was, I can't even tell you, man. So praise the Lord. You know what's good? You know what's really encouraging, folks? I don't know how many times this happens to you. When you do something in your life, you get the amen of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When it's over and you look back over your shoulder and say, man, was that ever the Lord? Wow.
The joy of the Lord will be your strength. When David went out to fight Goliath, the joy of the Lord, because somebody would stand up, that's what strengthened him. Brother, I know what you're feeling because you cannot tell me that is God's joy that builds your confidence in where you're standing today.
Hey, Dale, if he's faithful and making a tower stand up like that, there isn't anything that he isn't, that he, see, the problem is us. It's not the Lord, friends. It's us. Come on, church. The problem's us. It's not the Lord. Which brings me to the courts. First of all, I feel bad because Rob Pugh, I was going to let me host his national TV or whatever, WisconsinChristianNews.tv program the next couple of days. Wouldn't you know it, I get jury duty. Now, I may not have to go. When I had it on my schedule, it was clear. And then I get this notice and it's jury duty. All this week I've been up. And they didn't, of course, they didn't do it on Monday because whatever, they didn't do it. And then you check Monday night and they tell you whether you have to go Tuesday, which is today. Of course, I didn't have to go today. And now I got to check tonight to see whether I got to go tomorrow. And tomorrow is when I'm supposed to host Rob's program. I can't host Rob's program. So, you know, Rob is way ahead of everything. So he told me about 2 weeks ago and I put it in my calendar book, yada, yada, yada. And then the jury thing shows up, right? And then I have to go on the following weekend. Yes, I know. On the 16th, when we're having everybody come in on the 17th, I have to go down and give testimony in a custody case in Charlotte, North Carolina, if you can believe that. I thought I was going to be able to do it by video, especially with the COVID and all that stuff. And I have to go down to Charlotte, the date, everybody's coming in on the 17th, and I got to be in Charlotte, North Carolina on the 16th to give testimony. But I got to do it and follow through on that and this whole court thing. And I was thinking, when I got my summons, whatever they call that court summons, that jury duty summons, I was reminded of a lot of people don't register to vote because they say they don't want to serve on juries. They don't want to be called for jury duty. And even my wife, God bless her, she said, well, honey, just go in there and just be as right wing as you possibly can. Then you won't have to sit in. Just let them know that you're a Christian. And that's all true. And I will. But I said, look, man, that's part of our problem. That's part of our problem, folks.
Amen.
What if there's some guy going on trial who's praying right now for a guy like me to be on the jury? I got somebody's future in my hands. You understand? And so when we get a jury summons, we shouldn't run from it. We ought to be honored to go because, you know, we are going to do justice. And so I was thinking about the situation that we're all finding ourselves in with the COVID and the masks and, well, I got a new video this morning that just is unbelievable. A string of consciousness here, whatever. I'm sorry. Do you know the asthma medicine, those inhalers, kills COVID? You guys know that? Of course you didn't. I got a video.
Well, I'm in good shape then, Coach, because guess what? I have to take Symbicore every day. Hallelujah.
Well, there you go, man. There you go. COVID, it kills it. It kills it. And all the stuff that's going on So thinking that somehow, some way, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Remember, we talked about to redress our grievances, the right to petition our government for a redress of grievances. And the truth is we don't. Anything that I'm doing right now in my life, if I were to stand before a jury of my peers, I could stand and give bare testimony of the truth of what I'm doing. Everything. Biblically, why I'm doing what I'm doing, everything. But here's the problem. I don't think I'll get a jury of my peers. Can I give you a real quick story? Sure I can. It's my show. Dr. Ken Hovind. Remember Dr. Ken Hovind? Dr. Ken Hovind, when he went to trial for, this is like 15 years ago now, 20 years, a long time ago. When he was on trial with the federal government, before he was found guilty, when he was in the courtroom, Kent Hovind told people why he did not have to take out, basically, withholding taxes for his employees, 1099s, why he didn't have to do it. And what do you suppose they do? Why the prosecution brings in somebody from Pensacola Christian College who gets up there and testifies how Dr. Hovind's theology is wrong. There went his case out the window. Because even that Christian was not a jury of his peers. Now, we have to realize that I don't think maybe Larry or somebody a lot smarter than me can help me out. The Constitution doesn't actually say a jury of your peers. Doesn't actually say that. But we do believe, don't we, that we are all to be judged by people who have the same mindset and worldview that we have. Back in the days when everybody was biblically trained and biblically based and didn't have moral relativism and values clarifications and all that kind of stuff, when you went in and you sat in a trial, everybody in there believed basically the same thing. And one of the things that really changed all that was what they called the Scopes Monkey Trial. You guys remember that? The battle over evolution? When the Scopes Monkey Trial, when John, what was his name? Oh, I can see his face. Doesn't matter. Anyway, when he came in and presented evidence of Darwinism, another theory of where human beings came from, opened up the whole thing over the separation between the church and state. From that point on, you could not guarantee that when you went into court, you as a victim or as a the charged person, you could not go into that courtroom and be sure that you were going to be judged by people who thought like you. We no longer live like that. And so the truth is, if I'm going into court for some reason, me, I'm on trial, I want guys in the queue here as my jury. That's what I want. Guys who are red-pilled, whose eyes are open, who understand what's going on. I don't want some Southern Baptist boy who hadn't done anything except read his King James Version Bible his whole life. I don't want him. I'm sorry, folks. I don't want him sitting on my jury. He's not jury of my peers. He's not. All right. And I don't want some Presbyterian pastor sitting on it either because he's not a jury of my peers. He doesn't think like I do. That's part of the problem. I feel you, Larry. Come on in.
Yeah. Let's look at the other side of the coin for a second. One of these anti-fi persons should they be arrested? There are a few that have been. Do we want them to have juries of nothing but their kind on their juries? No, I think the Constitution and the writers were wise. They said your jury has to be from your geographical area. That's as close as they came to saying peers.
Yeah. Yeah. But Larry, again, I think if things have changed because we all used to basically believe the same thing. We taught it in our schools. We all had some level, the same idea of right and wrong. And does anybody out there right now think that you could stand before 12 people and get a fair judgment? Anybody out there really believe that?
Hey, been in front of juries twice in the last few years. And man, they blew not only the Bible, but they blew the law out the window when they came down on this.
Yeah. So think about when you have to stand before a jury facing man-made law with a prosecuting attorney who's paid for by the government, with a judge who's paid for by the government, with a bailiff who's paid for by the government, with a court recorder who's paid for by the government, with a what they call it, public defender who's paid for by the government. Everybody that you're trusting to help you is on the government's team. That's the problem that we run into. And when we got Ken Hovind, maybe I'll take a day sometime and explain that whole thing to you. When we were able to get Ken Hovind released from jail after 10 years being in jail, we were told that it was the first time that the federal government had lost in that courtroom in Pensacola, Florida, in 10 years. The federal government had not lost one case in that courtroom in 10 years. And Ken Hovind won his case based on some, miracle of the Lord. So the Lord loves justice, folks, and it's hard to find it today. Go, Larry.
Yeah, while we're on this justice venue or vent, you know, this deal about redress of grievances,
mm-hmm.
the Constitution, just like it doesn't guarantee you a jury by peers, it doesn't guarantee you redress of grievances. It guarantees you
the right
to petition for a redress mm-hmm. of grievances.
That's right, right, right. That's right. Everything's about that. So let me show you here. Bring up Millennials July 4th, Sheldon. Ask yourself, folks. Are these the people that you want determining your future? This is a campus reform. This is a video. These are millennials. These are college educated kids. Supposedly this is done on the college campuses. Ask yourself if you want the jury of these, if you want these peers sitting on your jury. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Eduardo Nurett with Campus Reform. With 4th of July coming up, we're talking to students and young Americans about the history of the holiday. Do they think America's a racist country? Do they even know what the 4th of July means? What date we got our independence and who we got our independence from? Let's find out. All right, so the 4th of July is coming up. You know, there are a lot of protests that have been going on around the country. What do you think the legacy of our country is? Do you guys think we're a racist country?
There is a little bit of racism, but I feel like it's more like with the police, you feel me?
America was built off of slavery and all of that.
Our country most definitely has a bad legacy. I think it's pretty obvious with the president that we have right now.
I have to agree, but I mean, obviously there's people in America that aren't racist, but there is racism in this country.
White people take it for granted. They think they're entitled, but they're not. Like, Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, but they take it to an extreme that they're like the supreme race.
I mean, yeah, racism has been around for quite a while. Like,
Black people like basically made this country. They like were slaves for a long time.
So with the 4th of July coming up, we're going to ask a couple questions. My first question for you guys is, what does the 4th of July commemorate?
The day we declared independence from Great Britain.
Basically America's birthday, right?
I think independence.
What year did we declare our independence?
I'm going to be real with you. I don't know.
1967, I'll say.
Close, a little off.
I don't know, 1859.
1964.
I'm going to give you a try. What do you think? What year did we get our independence?
1970-something, 74, something like that.
1979.
Like the 1800s.
1864.
18, shut up. Yes, like 18.
19, is like, farther no, back?
Like 18.
It's further back.
From the 1800s?
Oh, shit.
1777.
super close.
76, 76.
So we're actually very two interesting people to talk to. We're teachers. Okay. So I was a 7th grade civics teacher, government teacher, and she is an elementary school teacher, 4th grade, 2nd grade elementary school teacher.
What year did we get our independence?
17-something.
Who did we get our independence from? What country?
I don't know. I don't know this question.
The United States.
Do you guys know who we got our independence from?
I don't know.
America?
Oh, Britain.
Great Britain or something like that.
England.
What was the name of the war that we were fighting at the time?
The Civil War?
The French Revolution, right?
The Civil War?
The Industrial Revolution, right?
I think it's the Civil War.
I actually don't remember. I know what it. I really just don't remember.
Try again.
World War II?
World War I.
Yeah, I will also say the Civil War.
World War II. Did not start in 1700, right? World War II was in 1900, dog.
Oh, the Britain War, yeah, that.
Further back.
World War I?
A little further back than that.
The Revolution.
The American Revolution.
You guys got a lot of them right. A lot of people didn't get them right today. Do you guys feel like you were taught enough about this in school? Do you guys feel like you were taught about this in a classroom?
No. They need better teachers.
I feel like because since people think it's history, it doesn't apply to them now, but like history tends to repeat itself, so it's definitely important that you do learn where you come from and to avoid certain things like that now.
Everybody should learn about our history.
It's our right to know what happened like for our country and why, you know, why we live the way we do and all of that stuff.
It's something that's in our history books and like we just flip through, you feel me? Like the teachers don't take time to like really teach it.
School. Everything in school is like what they think quizzes, you should know.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I just know that teachers do not want to teach it.
People are very ignorant. They think that they know everything.
Society really doesn't care about a lot of things unless it's right in front of their face. You get me?
So I personally know firsthand that we are not getting taught, specifically in social studies, the history that we need to know.
I actually don't teach what's in our curriculum. I'm teaching children social studies that's not in our curriculum, teaching them things about how to be an anti-racist instead of teaching those same three famous black people that we continue to teach. I taught them about protesting. I taught them about Black Lives Matter. I taught them about things that are happening currently so that they could make those connections. And when they see it on the news, they're informed. They're not ignoring the facts of our world right now. They're facts that we're actually a racist country.
So remember this, folks. Don't remember, somebody, a wise man once said to me that the average person, history began the day that you were born. And I think, you know, one of the real goals of the communist agenda is to eliminate our history. They have to eliminate our history. The scriptures tell Psalm 11:3 that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And they're all about destroying foundations. I'm going to move on. Anybody want to add a comment about the courts and all that kind of stuff? That's why we're in the mess we're in. There's no justice.
So, yeah, Coach.
Yeah, Joe.
Your voice went way down. I don't know why, but it's way down. Since the video.
I heard you great.
Okay.
I heard you, but it was way down from where it was.
Well, I'm getting, maybe my testosterone's kicking in, Joe, and I'm just getting a deeper,
There we go. Okay.
I'm getting one of those Joe Silver voices, maybe, huh? Maybe. So I'm going to do this real quick because I think it's important. Let's tack this in. Go Sheldon to the communist schools. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this or not. This is what we're fighting. You understand communism is anti-Christian, right? We know this, don't we? Come on, you know this, right? Huh? No God in China. No God in Russia. You know what we all grew up with, right? We all know this. So I'm just going to run through this real quickly. These are the communist goals that was read into the Congressional Record January 10th, 1963. This is just... 10 months before John F. Kennedy was killed. So the current goals were U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Remember, the atomic bomb had just been 15 years before that had been released. U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. Again, remember, Alinsky leaning on our own values. We're morally superior, so therefore we're not going to kill everybody. We're just going to be killed. Permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Extension of long-term loans to Russian and Soviet satellites. Provide American aid to all nations, regardless of communist domination. These are the communist goals, okay, from Cleo Sklausen. Grant recognition of Red China, mission of China to the UN, set up East and West Germany as separate states, prolong the conference to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed. See, we had the bomb. We didn't want anybody else getting the bomb, and they didn't want that. Prolong the conference to ban atomic tests, allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the UN, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party, do away with loyalty oaths, continue giving Russia access to U.S. Patent Office, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. What? Yep, capture one or both of the political parties. Use technical decision on the courts to weaken basic American institutions. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communism. Soften the curriculum. Get controls of the teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Gain control of all student newspapers. Use student riots to foment public protests. Huh? Anything sound familiar? Infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy positions, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. The American Communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculptures from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward. They called that modern art. Remember that modern art when it didn't mean anything? Because they wanted to do away with beauty. The things that we perceive to be beautiful, they wanted to do away with that. Where am I? Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling that censorship. Right? Yeah. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuous as normal, natural, and healthy. How are they doing on these goals, you think? Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. 28, eliminate prayer or any phrase of religious expression in the schools on the grounds that it violates the principles of separation between the church and state. 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation. Discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Belittle all forms of American culture. Discourage the teaching of American history on the grounds that it was only a minor part of the bigger picture and give more emphasis to Russian history. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agenda, welfare programs, mental health, children's services. Eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of communist apparatus. Eliminate the House of Committee on Un-American Activities. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Infiltrate and gain control of more unions. 37, infiltrate and gain control of big business. 38, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Is that coming? Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand. Dominate the psychiatric profession. Use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose the communists. Discredit the families and institution. Encourage promiscuity. Easy divorce. Emphasize the need to raise children away from negative influences of parents attributed to prejudices, mental blocks, and returning to children of suppressive influence of parents. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, social problems, overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government, internationalize the Panama Canal, repeal the Connolly Reservation so the United States can prevent the world court from seizing jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. 1963. Wake up, America.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
The main reason that they have had so many more victories across the world than we have as far as getting people's hearts and minds, 32, 33, and 43, they are unified against their enemy.
The kings of this world are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, folks.
Read that number 32 again.
Slide back up here, Sheldon, if you can, number 32. I'm sorry, I did read them fast. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture.
They unified with any aspect of something that agreed with them in any point. And that's the kind of unity that it's going to take with us. Where we do agree, we're going to have to unify. And we're going to have to ignore where we don't agree until after we win a victory where we do agree. If we don't do that, we lose, they win.
Folks, if I had the time, I would maybe I'll post it on our webpage. Agenda, the movie Agenda, Grinding America Down, and then the movie Agenda 2. Both are on YouTube, I believe, free for viewing. They're long, but I suggest you go watch those. Now, hang on, Sheldon, while I'm on top of this horse here real quick. Sheldon, go down and click on America's Already a Socialist. We're already socialist. We're already socialist, folks. This is Ronald Reagan, I'm sorry, that was a Freudian slip. President Trump said, America will never be socialist. We already are. I don't know if you ever listened to James Corbett and the Corbett Report. It's really, really good. But slide on down here, Jared. I'm sorry, Sheldon. Here we are, folks. This is what a socialist, how you know we're socialist. Can you raise it up a little bit, Sheldon, and maybe enlarge it a little bit for me? There we go. Yes, socialism is one of those slippery terms that has been defined in a million different ways, but it's pretty clear why Trump is using it. Socialism is government, coercion, domination, and control. Opposed to that is freedom from that control, political liberty, and independence. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the ways that we already have socialism. Government agents are dedicated to stopping farmers from selling raw milk. That's socialism. Enforcers of the state whose job is to stop people from feeding the homeless. We know that's going on. Government licensing requirements for driving, fishing, cutting hair, getting married, selling lemonade, blogging, wearing masks, going out in public. Government mandated geographical areas in which one can or cannot exercise one's right to free speech. You go here, here's your free speech zone. No, I want to talk over here. No, we have a free speech zone. Socialism, folks. Entire sections of the U.S. Code devoted to policing the size, style, color, and order of the words turkey ham on every package of ham turkey. Oops, meaning turkey. In other words, they regulate everything. Tax laws in place to tell the average worker how much of their income they are allowed to keep. Think about that. That's what our tax laws do. They tell you how much you are allowed to keep. Do I need to go on? He says, well, how about this? Americans need permission from the government to go to work. Huh? To not wear a mask. That's not in there. I'll throw that in there. We need permission from the government to travel. We need permission from the government to play. We need permission from the government to study. We need permission. How about this? How about the, and can we ever forget the Americans have a central bank owned by a gang of banksters who print the money into existence and then you owe them money? We have a legal code so extensive the average American commits 3 felonies a day. We have an intelligence agencies that record the entirety of every electronic communication flowing through the country and then straight up lie to the American people about it. And a president who reserves the right to kill anyone he wants, including American citizens, anywhere on earth at any time. So we already got socialism. We already do, which is anti-Christianism. I don't know how I got on this, but I thought we'd throw it out there. Anybody, come on in here. Sheldon,
hey, Coach.
Pull up Mario Morello while Jeff speaks. Go ahead, Sheldon. Pull that up. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I noticed my local government has... Well, first of all, have you heard of strong cities or strong towns?
Sounds good. Sounds something like I'd really, really want to have.
Right. It's an organization started by the United Nations.
Oh.
And strong cities are in Europe, Chicago, and all these people have, like Obama's actually said it. That's where they take the police and make it weak, make all this stuff happen. What's happening today?
Yeah. Well, Jeff, they're gonna make you wear a mask out there soon, aren't they? No, they have no legal right to be able to do that. They're gonna make you wear a mask and social distance and all that stuff. See, and we just roll over and let them have it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Governor Sisolak, the governor of Nevada, has made it mandatory. Period.
Everywhere. Even though he can't do that, right? Even though he can't. Sort of like killing a baby. Sort of like
right.
Killing a baby made that mandatory too. Yeah. Area code 301. Come on in.
Hey, Coach. That gentleman, Mr. Craig, he could just go over to the church parking lot, and as the people come out of church, ask him Who was Samuel in the Bible? Did Ezra come before Moses? Who's Abraham? And there's a principle to kind of keep in the back of our minds. I think it's important. People that think have a little bit of truth or a little bit of understanding are more dangerous than someone that has no understanding. Because
half truths are killing us, aren't they, Craig? Half yes, sir. Truths. You won't believe some things I'm going to pull up here in a second if we get around to it. Because as I've said over and over, the battle's over truth. It's over truth. Now, evidently, is my microphone okay? Because I see Sheldon and Jared changing seats. That usually means something didn't work in here. It's probably on my – I updated my computer. If we have technical issues, it's probably on my end. So Mario Murillo, who I really like Mario Murillo. And I was going to try to get him on the show, but he's out in Las Vegas, I think, someplace out there. So it's just hard to get a guy that active up that early. But he wrote a commentary that I want to share with you today. Excuse me. didn't mean to cough on you on that. Mario Murillo, hang on here. I'm trying to find Jared. Bear with me a second. Folks, bear with me. As I pull it up on my screen here as well. Speak now or forever hold your peace is the title. I'm trying to find it. Dr. Murillo said this. He said, this is the clearest warning God has ever given me. God is emphatically telling the American church, speak now or forever hold your peace. They say that at weddings, don't they? By the way, our son's getting married here in a month. I'll be saying that at his wedding. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Whatever we are going to say, whatever we're going to do, whatever action we're going to take to protect our rights as Christians and Americans, hey, Larry, we better do it now. Doubt my words at your own peril. Churches are about to be closed forever. People of faith will soon be marginalized. You say, oh, come on, coach. You're just a conspiracy theorist. Okay. People of faith will soon be marginalized, as if you're not already. I will be disqualified. I'm making this prediction. I will be disqualified off of jury duty because of my strong Christian faith. Anybody want to argue that? They could never get rid of somebody because they were black. They could never get rid of them because they were Hispanic. They could never get rid of them because they were Muslim. Boy, they can boot me off of there because I'm Christian. Doubt my words at your own risk. Churches are about to be closed forever. People of faith will soon be marginalized, both socially and economically. What we're talking about here is nothing short of your children's and your grandchildren's future. Jared, can you make that a little bit bigger? I don't know if you can. They will live in a world where they will be targeted for their faith. And it's for the faith that you've given them. They will live in a world, I'm sorry, and the worst part is you're not going to be here to protect them when they endure the worst of it. Listen closely. The threat I'm describing is not years away. It's not even months away. It's days away. Yes, absolutely. We are days away from the new excuse the Democrats are preparing to use to wipe out both the First and Second Amendments to the Constitution. Here's what's happened to justify the urgency of my writing. Satan has been working, kings of this world conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. Satan has been working on this masterstroke of tyranny for years. The tapestry of lies he has woven is the greatest manipulation of truth in all of history. It transforms light into darkness and darkness into light. It changes hatred into love and love into hatred. It makes racism equality, equality. It makes racism equality and equality racism. They have few left. They have left few, if any, words that carry their own original meaning. Wasn't it here last week that somebody wrote something about change the words, change the world? So here's what Mario Murillo quotes out of Isaiah, I believe it is. Isaiah 59. No one calls for justice. Maybe he's been listening to us, folks. Nor does anyone plead for truth. Truth, that's where the battle lies. Stay with me. They trust in empty words, speak lies, they conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs die. Remember, eggs give birth, right? So when they eat an egg, they're eating something that they're going to give birth to. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood, abortion. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity continuously. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. And there's no justice in their way. They've made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Murillo says that passage describes exactly what's happening. From our lowest back alleys to our highest offices of power. And then verses 14 and 15 tell us this. Justice is turned back. Folks, how long have we been singing this song here? And the righteousness stands afar off. We're the righteousness and we stand afar off. As justice is turned back, we're the ones who can bring forth righteousness, but we stand afar off. Why? Because truth has fallen in the street. And equity cannot enter. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil, and if you teach your children to depart from evil, you make them a prey. The moment when you make yourself a prey for Marxist wolves, that moment is even now at the door. Murillo says, I'm sick to death of those who refuse to call the church to action. Let me put it plainly. You have two choices. Either vote for Trump or make a plan to move your family to safety. I'm also sick of the pastors who refuse to come to this obvious conclusion. When you hear them scream, Mario Murillo is an extremist, remember that we got to this point of desperation because of the lukewarm voices who refused to admit the approach of danger. Remember when California told us not to use our Bibles? Pastors did not galvanize resistance to stop it. Remember when marriage was destroyed? Again, there was no national firewall of righteousness to intervene. Then they told us to close our churches. And even as they condoned mass protests that led to violence and helped spread the virus, again, there was no unanimous action from the American church leaders. Then they told us that we cannot sing. This was a test balloon to see how fast they could force the church underground. Jerry, can you make that a little bigger? That's why I'm acting like I don't know how to read today. There you go. So what's next? Will they extend the church gathering ban indefinitely? What will we do, folks, if they, you say, oh, they'll never do that. Yeah, they'll never do that. They'll never do that. Masks ever going away? What if they say, sorry, we just can't have church for a while. We certainly can't sing any praise songs.
A church speaks now or forever be bound in fear.
Yes, sir. Will they move on to dictating not only when we can meet, when we can sing, but will they also dictate what we can sing? Will we finally find ourselves ordered to read a script that will be, in effect, a repudiation of our faith in Christ? Remember, we're here because of an incurably wrongheaded sense of political correctness. Well, brothers and sisters, that season is over. The gloves must come off. The righteous must rise up with a single roar. A noise that is unified and unending must rise from the church. Murillo says, for years we've been taught to just sit back and let it happen. We were told that it was all in God's hand, even as we ignored God's words. God has chosen to honor prayer. God rewards those who seek to stand in the gap against national evil. Barring one last verse from Isaiah, which tells us our greatest predicament, then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice for the preborn. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. God is shocked, folks, and rightfully so, that the American church is still wandering, wavering, and weakening in the face of an invading enemy. And yet there's great hope because God's army is rising. And amen! And its numbers are growing at this very hour. Notable Christian leaders are no longer worried about protecting their reputations, but are taking up a new anointing, a nation-saving anointing. With every atom of my being, I'm exhorting you to take action. To those who have no stomach for war and are oblivious of the facts that we are already at war, please spare me your empty excuses. The American church must rise up now. We're about to be bound and gagged by a rogue government, kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. Whatever confidence you have in my ministry, whatever trust level of trust I've earned, I must now put that on the line. Wow, I got to get a hold of this guy. Join us in the great struggle. Join a cause so noble and so right that it is beyond belief that every Christian in America must be involved. This is the hour right now, folks. This is it. You will never pass this way again. Speak now, church, or forever hold your peace. Somebody say amen on that one.
Amen.
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 I don't do this often, but I saw something as you were reading that. I saw a train slowly leaving a station, and it was a train of God's family. And there were those who saying, well, I'm going to get on it before it's too late. And they started approaching the train, but by the time they got to it, it was going too fast for them to get on it.
Mm. Well, let's get this train moving, baby. Let's get this train moving. Yes, come on in.
Yeah, I preached Isaiah 59 right there in front of Black Lives Matters before the big crowd showed up. And boy, it tell you, the Black Lives Matter, I can't breathe is their response. Thank you.
Hey, listen to this. Stephanie, our good old former Wiccan, she just texted me here. She says, Coach, I think they don't want people to sing because it creates energy. It creates spiritual energy. It's a direct spiritual frontline attack. Energy from prayers and song, ooh, sends angels energy for action. Silence, they must stand and wait and watch until they have permission to move from God. I think we should sing louder and praise more. Ah, Lee, Stephanie, that's a good one, man. So listen, just to kind of make it lighthearted, God, it's 7:47 already. I got a couple things I just got to show you because I'm into truth. I'm really, really into truth and say, what the heck's going on? So go down here real quick, Sheldon. Let's go to lies that were taught in school. Can we do that real quick? Lies were taught in school. And that are pretty much, we allow, folks, we Christians allow these lies to be taught to our schools, okay? Number one, I'm going to go through them really quick. And just think about this and think about the spiritual significance of this. Number one, we teach that humans evolved from apes. Christians allow this to be taught. Go to the next one. We teach that Sir Isaac Newton discovered the laws of gravity when an apple fell on his head. That's a myth. Go to the next one, Sheldon. We teach that the pilgrims left England and headed straight to America in search of religious freedom. That's not true. They were heading someplace else and ended up here. Myth that Columbus discovered the earth was round when he sailed for India and ended up in America. No, not true. Greeks knew it 2,000 years before that. Albert Einstein was stupid. He didn't do very well in school. Not true. Number six, keep going. The pyramids were built using slave labor. When some people start saying, maybe it was giants that did it, huh? Seven, the Great Wall of China is visible from the space. Not true. Not true. Number eight, Christopher Columbus was the one who discovered America. Nope, 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 nope. Somebody's here at least before him. Number nine, your blood is actually not red, but blue, and it only turns red after it leaves your body. Nope, 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 not true. Number 10, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Sort of true. 70 years before Thomas Edison's light bulb, Humphrey Davy invented one. He did it first. Edison just perfected it. Myth, we have all five senses, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. No, 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 no. There's more than that. We have spatial reasoning. What was that? Vibration, time, direction, temperature. We got all kinds of senses. They tell us we only have five. That's stupid. Myth, toilets in the southern hemisphere flush the opposite way. No, 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 no. All toilets go the same way. 13, the Greeks use a Trojan horse to sack the city of Troy. No, the only place that the Trojan horse is mentioned in antiquity is in Aeneid, the epic poem written by Virgil hundreds of years before. That's all a myth. Go ahead. Next one, Sheldon. Is there one more? Myth, there's no gravity in space. While gravity is in space, it's far less intense. Number 15, we only use about 10% of our brains. Crazy. Most of you don't even use that. So there are 15 things that we could go on and on and on and on with things that they taught us that simply aren't true. That just are not true, yet we continue to repeat them. Yet, you can trust everything you hear from the government. So, Sheldon, is there anything in the Bible that they teach us that's not true? It says Bible lies. Remember, guys, girls, the battle is over truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. Jesus is truth. We are to earnestly contend for the faith, for truth. That's what we're supposed to do. Number one, an apple in the garden. Eve ate an apple. No, it was called a forbidden fruit. A forbidden fruit. Why is it an apple? Well, somebody told us it was. Maybe it was Disney. I don't know. What was that forbidden fruit? Was it actually something she ate, or was it something she partook in? Was it a behavior? Was it an action? Was it something that she took into her body that she knew she was not supposed to take into her body? So we use apple, but that wasn't it. Number two, we're told that there were three wise men, but that's not true. That's not true. There were more. Oh, take the whole wise men out of your nasty scene team. They arrived much later, when Mary, Joseph, and Jesus had already moved to a house in Bethlehem. A whale swallowed Jonah. Huh? Well, despite what VeggieTales taught, the Bible never says it was a whale that swallowed the runaway prophet. It says that God sent a great fish. We just said it was a whale. Money is the root of all evil. There's another one, huh? You hear, often hear that. When that's not what it says, it actually says it's the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. Evidently, there are kinds of evil. Evidently, evil isn't just evil. There's different kinds of it. Murdering a baby would be a different kind of evil than using phony money, counterfeit money. That would be a different type of evil. You with me? This too shall pass. After being fired by the Chicago Bears, that's what Mike Ditka said. It's unlikely that Ditka and others have gotten confused in the phrase, it came to pass. Which it came to pass appears over 400 times, but it never once says this too shall pass. Number six, cleanliness is next to godliness. Sounds good. Not in the Bible. Seven, God works in mysterious ways. Oh, we love that one, don't we? Sorry, not in the Bible. God, love the sinner, hate the sin. Sorry, Gandhi. Be in the world, but not of the world. This one may surprise you, but that phrase is nowhere in the Bible. As much as you may think it's exact quote from the Sermon on the Mount verse, it's not. And 10, God will not give you more than you can handle. Doesn't say it anywhere. 11, God helps those who help themselves. Sounds good. Doesn't say it. So we have to understand as we look around that we are confronted with lies in every aspect of this world. Satan is the father of lies. No. Bible says he was a liar. He is a liar and the father of them. I think that's what it says, right? That the devil himself could not tell truth. So therefore, all of his agenda is based on lies. Go, Larry. Oh, you got your microphone unmuted. That's what I was looking at. I'm sorry. Somebody, anybody else? So our battle's over truth, folks. It's over truth. It's over truth. They tell us we're in it. How often do you hear them say that we're in a democracy? We're not in a democracy. How often do we hear that? How often do we hear them tell us that Roe versus Wade's the law of the land? That's not law. There's no law. No law of the land. Everywhere we look, see? Everywhere we look. And the Lord says, that, folks, this is so simple. It's so simple. Just follow my precepts, my truth. Just follow truth. If all this stuff, if we all just fought, if black men just married their wives, huh? Yes. Do you hear anybody anywhere in all of this Black Lives Matter movement? Do you hear anybody just calling out for that simple solution? Hey, dude, just get married. Stay married. Get a job.
All those ones that Snoop just called coons, they all said it, every one of them.
Every one of them, brother. Every one. And Michelle and I were laughing yesterday. I ran down to Lancaster and Alan, So I don't take this wrong. Don't take this wrong. I'm just showing you how my mind works. We turn left on the, anybody know the Lancaster, Ohio area would get it. We turn left on a road and said, uh-oh. I said, Michelle, they're going to have to change that one. It was Coon Path Road. Coon Path Road.
I'd like to know how many young people's lives Nasty Tongue Snoop Dogg ruined. I'd like to know that.
Isn't that the truth, Alan? He put these words out into our culture and our society. I hear people saying Coon Path. I mean, what would be Raccoon Path, wouldn't it? Raccoon Path. Not Coon Path. Raccoon. Isn't that offensive? Washington Redskins, they got to do away with Redskins. The London Red Raiders, somebody actually wants to change the name of the London Red Raiders. Get rid of Red Raiders. I said, well, aren't their uniforms red? Aren't they Raiders? Red Raider? What? See, folks, we're standing on shaky ground. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Somebody help me wrap it up. I've been all over the place today trying to help you see the importance of truth. Go, Jeff.
Quick example. Guy next door at the Speedway gas station, known him over there 8 or 9 years, helped him out about 8 months ago, get a car. He let a little bit down. I've known this kid. I deal with him every day there. Spend probably $10,000-$15,000 a year in this gas station. Kid, trust me, he's always come to me for help, doing this, and then get him a car. They pay the first 6 or 8 weeks. He makes $500 a week at the gas station right there at Speedway, $500 a week. So the last 6 or 8 weeks, he quits paying his payments. So I've been asking him, hey, when you come in, come down to, hey, young man, you need to be the head of your house. He keeps blaming his wife. So him and I are having this conversation. I said, buddy, you need to man up and get in there. Well, all of a sudden, I'm sitting in my car lot office with somebody at my desk. Cop car pulls in the back. Usually they're looking for homeless guys or people on parole violation. I usually help them out because I know they're always hanging around there. So I go out back and there's two cops in the patrol car. They get out and I said, officers, how can I help you today? I said, who are you looking for? They looked at me and said, we're looking for you. I said, what? So what did I do? You've been over there talking, harassing that guy at Speedway? I said, harassing? Yeah, he said, we got a call from his wife. She wasn't even there. Never been there. She calls and turns me in for harassment at workplace, disorderly conduct. They've banned me from talking to this kid. They said, I'm not allowed to talk to him. Now, I walk in there every day. You know how they say, how are you going to not talk to this kid? I walked in there, Dad said, are you allowed to wait on me? He just looked at me real dumb. You know what I mean? But the cops come lay it all down to me. What I can say?
Well, Jeff, hopefully he won't be on your jury. He won't be the jury standing in front of us.
Jeff, I hope you're going to repossess his car. You still have title, don't you?
I told him I'm just going to turn in small claims. I said, Justin, it's $35. I'll just turn you in. Then they called the cops on me at that point.
Yeah, I would repossess I would repossess his car.
Yeah. Well. Vengeance is the Lord's, Roger. Let's not get
it's biblical to repossess his car because the Bible says you reap what you sow.
Go get it, huh?
Go get it.
Hey, Coach.
I got to.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Craig.
You got to dumb it down so you can tear it down so you can rebuild it so the man of lawlessness can come in and give his version of what truth is and people will believe it.
Amen, Craig. And so what we saw in one video clip, we saw those young college kids. That's where we are. They know about transgenderism and they know about all the different genders and they know about Bruce Jenner they know all that stuff. They don't have any idea about our history. And this has been done on purpose. Charlotte Iserbeet wrote a book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. She was an official in the Reagan administration. And when she left the Reagan administration, she wrote a book, not The Dumbing Down of America, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. One of the best things that we can all do is ensure that not one of your children or grandchildren ever return to government schools. That would be a start, wouldn't it? That would be a start. To get our money back from them and stop being forced to pay, have churches quit telling us that it's our duty to pay taxes to ungodly government. No, it isn't, folks. Not your duty. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. I'm sorry. I don't care how much that 6-foot icicle tells you whether it is. And until we to reclaim some of these areas in our nation. Man. Hey, I feel like I've been all over the place, but it's all been good. It's all been good. Remember, signups for July 17th through the 19th are done. If you're not sure whether or not you're signed up, please email us so we can firm that up. Gary Pierce is working his tail off night and day, getting that list up to date. And we're looking forward to a great, great event. Hey, I don't want to be buried by Jerry, my peers. Do you? God bless you. See you tomorrow.